Times Person of the Year for 2019 is the youngest ever. It's 16-year-old Greta Thunberg of Sweden. What was it that earned her this prestigious recognition? It was her voice as an advocate of climate emergency. She declares with the passion of her youth the need to address climate change and all the challenges that go with this notion. But in the Madrid meeting that was supposed to follow up the Paris Accords, and Greta Thunberg rushed to it because of problems that happened, no agreement was reached by the experts on the issue of the climate. If there is any lesson here, celebrity does not guarantee results when faced with down-to-earth reality. Kahit na anong bantog, kapag naharap ka sa talagang mga realidad sa katotohanan, hindi sapat ang kabantugan upang umira lang iyong kagustuhan. Now, if that happens even in such important issues like climate change, that is even more true with eternal issues that involve the Christian cause. Christians do not follow celebrities. Ang mga Kristiyano hindi sumusunod sa mga bantog. Nang dahil sa kabantugan ay susundin mo. If they do, they will soon be disappointed. This is the only second Sunday of the year 2020. We do not know what lies ahead in our direction. But we must be certain as to the light that we will follow in moving ahead. Maaga pa ang taon. Hindi natin alam saan direksyon tayo dinadala ng Panginoon. Ngunit dapat ay meron na tayong matibay ng paninindigan. Anong liwanag ang susundin natin kapag tayo ay kumahakbang sa ating direksyon. Whether God gives us 10 steps ahead of knowledge or as He does many times, just one step ahead. We follow the light of the scriptures. There will be a lot of tempting guides to follow. We may be tempted to follow what looks popular. We may tend to follow what seems to be convenient. We may tend to follow where everybody else is going through and follow the bandwagon effect. One may even be tempted with a quote Christian reason that if it is popular with other Christians and with other churches, that must be the path to follow. So at this beginning of the year, I hope we will have a common commitment as to what is our guide. Well, perhaps you notice that since the last Sunday of the year 2019, I've been giving isolated messages, year-end message, New Year message, and then annual meeting message, another isolated message because I can't make a series in this month of January. I'll call it Principle for the Year message. My principle for the year 2020. And although the title sounds personal, it is actually an invitation to all of you to adopt the same principle. The principle is that God's Word above my life. I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to the first letter of Peter, familiar passage of chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, and I will read. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, in all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news, the gospel that was preached to you. Now the first letter of Peter was written with the express purpose of teaching believers to live while being the small minority of society Ganun ang mga mananampalataya noon pa man, sa panahon ng mga, sa imperyo ng Roma, maliit silang minorya kung ikukumpara sa napakarami sa lipunan ng mga mananampalataya. So the question comes up very often, how am I to conduct myself as an unbeliever in the face of, rather as a believer in the face of so many who are believers? And in a manner of speaking, it is a condition just like ours. We too as believers are in the minority. Now, yes, there are many who profess to be Christians in the sense of Christendom, but we are talking of our evangelical commitment of faith. And as evangelical Christians, we are in the minority. Now, for some of those Peter was addressing in his letter, it means persecution. They were suffering for their faith. But in this first chapter, Peter tells them that the standard has not changed. Kahit pa sila inuusig, nagkakaroon ng pagdurusa ng dahil sa kanilang pananampalataya, hindi nagbago ang pamantayan, hindi binago, hindi ibinaba. I have often heard this mentality or this reasoning, if you are finding it hard to live the Christian life, lie low for a while. That's worldly wisdom. We don't find that in the writings of Peter. Perhaps he was not even familiar with that saying, or if he was, he did not follow it. He did not believe that standards of Christian living should lie low just because there are sufferings among Christians. Peter's standard is something he draws from back to the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law that says, be holy as the Lord your God, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. That was the standard, and Peter cites this word for word in 1 Peter 1:15. How should Christians live? In the same way that the standard was for the Israelites when they were in the minority, so for Christians, be holy as I and the Lord your God is holy. Now, one way for Christians to endure in the face of opposition from unbelievers is that there must be love between believers. O isang bagay ito na pinayo ni Apostol Pedro sa mga mananampalataya, nasa minorya kayo, napapaligiran kayo ng mayorya ng mga hindi mananampalataya, sa anong paraan kayo makapagtutiis at makapagpapatuloy sa kabila ng mga pressure, ng mga pahirap na inyong naranasan? Isang paraan, sabi ni Pedro, ay mag-ibigan kayo sa isa't isa. Umiral ang pag-ibig ng mga mananampalataya dapat sa isa't isa. And this love between believers, however, now Peter insists in our text, is to be impelled, not by anything merely human. After all, you look at unbelievers, they too love one another. Sometimes with a passion that puts us to shame. So it is not that Christians love one another and unbelievers do not love one another that makes a distinction. Rather, the way Christians love one another is something that they alone can do and unbelievers cannot do. And how is that? Because what must impel the love of Christians for one another is not anything merely human, but it says by the enduring and abiding word of God. Magmamahalan kayo sa isa't isa, hindi katulad kung paano magmahalan ang mga hindi mananampalataya, kundi magmahalan kayo sa paraan ng sa udyok ng hindi nagbabago at patuloy na nananahang salita ng Diyos. Besides this love between brethren, this standard of the word can be applied to all of the Christian life. So I just begin with the idea of love, but my intention is to draw the principle that in all of life, the enduring compulsion should be the Word of God. My message is, the Word of God must govern life above everything merely human. Ang salita ng Diyos ang dapat mamahala sa buhay higit sa anumang pantao lamang. The word of God must govern life above everything merely human. Apostle Peter makes a very stark contrast between the word of God and everything that is just human. How did he call everything that is human? They are all flesh, they are grass. Now, many of you are much better in agriculture than I am, but I'm pretty sure you will not give that much value to grass compared to what you really plant for harvest later on. It's just grass. And Peter says, everything of flesh is grass. And it's not done. He adds something. And all the glory of the flesh is as the flower of the grass. Again, I'm not an expert in, I can't even name a flower of a grass, but to tell you the truth. But Peter tells us, if you can speak of something glorious about humanity, and there are so many things that are glorious about humanity, but in the reckoning of God and compared to the word of God, it becomes nothing but a flower of a grass. You see the stark comparison now. Human grass, human glory, flower of the grass, in contrast with that, what should impel the love of the brethren and the whole of the life of the brethren should be the word of God. So it is a choice. Is the word of God to govern your life? It is a choice, because it will mean rejection of human standard merely. Hindi pwede yung, word of God, pero mula sa word of God, gagamit ako ng human standard. O kaya, human standard, lalagyan ko ng verse para masabi na yung human standard ay may tunog ng Biblia. This will really challenge us when we have to apply this in our lives. And may I suggest, there are two areas of life where the human is present, and the challenge is, what will govern you? The word of God or human standard? Just two. But we will always face, almost on a daily basis this year, personality and circumstances. Personalidad at mga kalagayan. Those are the two things that we always have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, and will determine whether at one point when you impinge on a personality or circumstance, would the word of God govern or human standard? So consider first personality. Peter's letter is full of instruction on how to deal with people. He instructs his readers how to deal with people in government, how to deal with people in society, how to deal with people among peers. So Peter was full of thought about how to deal with people. Peter is not unmindful of the various relations that Christians sustain to various people in a society. He is not advocating that Christians be neglectful, much less rebellious of those relations. Hindi yan ang advokasya ni Apostle Pedro. Hindi niya sinasabing magpabaya kayo sa mga makamundong relasyon, at lalo hindi niya sinasabing mag-alsa kayo sa mga makamundong relasyon. Rather, the Word of God has an authority that transcends any personality that we deal with. That is the principle. Ang salita ng Diyos ay may autoridad na hihigit sa anumang personalidad na makakasalimuhan natin. The Word of God has an authority that transcends any personality that we deal with. Now, of the personalities that we deal with in our lives, we can have two opposite attitudes and everything in between. We can have attachment or estrangement and everything between. Maring tayo ay may pagkamalapit sa kanila, o maaring malayo tayo sa kanila, o wala tayong balasakit sa kanila at lahat ng nasa gitna ng dalawang yan, from attachment to estrangement and everything in between. There are personalities who, by reason of our connection, whether by blood, friendliness, other reasons, we are attached. To such persons, we tend to be accommodating. We adjust ourselves and sometimes even deny ourselves in order to accommodate people we like. But sometimes the Word of God has certain points of teaching that will challenge such personalities. We were just discussing this morning in our Sunday school. Silence when there is admonition necessary. When you like a person and to admonish might risk something of that attachment. In our attempt to not hurt these personalities, we blunt the standard of the word. We do not apply in a straightforward way, and at other times, it is just the opposite. There are personalities to whom we are estranged. An estrangement may mean simply no concern, or at its extreme may mean hostile. But this is again something that will challenge our standard. To people we are estranged to, we tend to be more excessive than the word in its application, especially when it is condemnation. This is similar to Christians in a society where they have to deal with people who are good, people who are evil, and understandably, the good they tend to have attachment to, and against the evil they are estranged. But it should not be our emotional reaction to personalities that must govern our treatment of people. The Word of God applies to people whether you like them or you do not like them. Because if there is a word that applies to that personality, you obey the word. And sometimes it crushes the emotion. Sometimes it challenges your emotion. Sometimes it makes it for you very personally denying. If you're not a sports fan, you will not know the name Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is a star player, a former star player in the National Football League of America, member of the San Francisco 49ers. This is the football tournament of America. Well, Colin Kaepernick started the habit of rebellion in which, while the anthem was being played, he would sit down. While everybody else is standing, whether they do it with real reverence or just for decency's sake, everybody stands, Kaepernick kneels down. It was, according to him, his sign of protest. And then others followed him. Kaepernick was maintained by his team for even more seasons until recently because of the reaction of the fans. Kaepernick was delisted by the 49ers. But you see my point, even though this man is showing such rebellion, such selfishness, such irreverence to his national symbol, he was tolerated because he's good. He's good in football. He brings victories. And it was only when his game suffered that the 49ers, also because of the pressure of the fans, let him go. That's how we deal with personalities. We tend to overlook their sins. because we like them. We tend not to apply the word with sharpness because they give us some gain. And that is how even Christians can be pressured to deal with personalities. The challenge here is practice the word whether of without fear or favor of any personality. That's the challenge in the Word of God, is your standard. Practice the word without fear or favor of any personality. Fear of men is a very strong motivation to alter the standard of the word so you can favor men. The Bible warns us against that motivation of fear. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare. Nagdadala ng patibong. I know how the fear of man restrains a preacher's mouth for fear of criticism or even outright attack. The gospel has become so soft today that invites people for assurance of salvation without call to repentance, because preachers are afraid of being thought evil upon. But this also happens in the church that must exercise our mandates. We want to be soft on people we like. We want to be harsh on people we are estranged from. It may be fear of critics or the favor of people we like that will make us soft and fail to apply the principle of the Word of God. The same is the direction of favor of men. Proverbs 19:6 says, many entrust the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. So we have the same craving for human favor as much as we have the same fear of people criticizing us and attacking us. We have, on the other hand, a clamor for, a craving for favor, for people to tap us, for people to appreciate us. And that again affects the preacher's message. It becomes a message of inspiration and good feeling. His message will avoid the inconvenient message of sin, calling for repentance. He will avoid admonition and rebuke, as we learned this morning. But the church is to be different. That's what Peter expects of the church to which he was writing. The church is composed of many personalities with varying degrees of attachment and estrangement. It will be unrealistic to even expect that all the members of the church have the same degree of attachment or estrangement. That does not happen. Not in any church. But imagine a church where the word is not the governing authority, but personality rules. And division is drawn by personality lines. So when there is a decision to be made by the church, whether business or ministry or discipline, you can almost see in some churches how they will divide along personality lines, along cliques. The love of brethren expected by Peter of his readers is that love which transcends personalities. And let this be the defining standard of our love as brethren. For we love impelled by the word. When the word exposes sin, whoever is the personality, we react as we should. Where we are called upon to exercise forgiveness, however estranged, we subscribe to the word. John Knox of Scotland was such a preacher whose preaching did not have fear or favor. In fact, it was monarchs who had fear of John Knox. One such monarch famous for her fear of John Knox was Mary, Queen of Scots. because of the power of John Knox's preaching. But he was a man who would not be silenced, not by threat of persecution, not by threat of arrest, because he was under the Word of God. That is all I ask when it comes to personalities. And then I ask it also when it comes to circumstances. Sa ating mga kalagayan, the circumstances that defines the lives of Peter's addressee is one of persecution. As I have said, often at such times, standards change. Believers have expected to lie low, but Peter has not heard such a sentiment. The principle here remains, the authority of God's word does not change with the change of circumstances. Ang autoridad ng salita ng Diyos ay hindi nagbabago habang nagbabago ang mga kalagayan. We tend to describe a relationship, as I said, as attachment and estrangement and everything in between. When it comes to circumstances, we describe it as convenient or inconvenient and everything in between. Yung mga circumstances natin ay maginhawa o hindi maginhawa at lahat ng nakapagitna. Convenient may be from very rewarding, popular, fulfilling, something that we welcome. Inconvenient may be from something failing, unpopular, unbearable, something that is unwelcome. But for each case of circumstances, we may be tempted to adjust the authority of the Word of God. So, when it is convenient, we may be, again, just like in personality, we may become very accommodating to maintain the convenience. We do not want to make ripples of waves that may turn things into inconvenient. And when things are inconvenient, as in the case of the persecution of Peter's readers, we may loosen the standard. But for Peter, he calls the Word of God with this word. It is incorruptible. Incorruptible simply means hindi pwedeng haluan. Maraming bagay pwede mong paghaluin, pero ang salita ng Diyos hindi mo pwedeng haluan ng makatao lamang o pantao lamang na pamantayan. It is incorruptible, and then as to circumstances, he says it endures all the ages. So those are the two things, right? Personality, it is incorruptible. Circumstances endures all the ages. In no issue, whether personality or circumstances, should you change the standard of the authority of the Word of God. This is a real challenge. The authority of the Word in convenient times does not change when it invites inconvenience. As I've said, Peter compares the glory of man to the flower of a grass. I was mindful of looking for any name of the flower of a grass. It skipped my mind. Kaya wala pa rin akong alam na pangalang flower of the grass. Ano, maaaring may alam kayo. Pero ang sinasabi ni Pedro, ano mang glory yan? Scientific glory, academic glory, physical glory, whatever the glory, what can it be compared to? Flower of the grass. And that means for you and me, when you are in any circumstances, apply the relevant word of authority to your present circumstances. And I'm going to tell you, there will always be a relevant word for your circumstances. Laging may angkop na salita para sa kinalalagyan mo ng mga sitwasyon. There is a relevant word that applies to your peculiar secret circumstances. Sometimes it takes wisdom, sometimes you need counsel, but there is the word. In times of provocation, Peter said, citing the example of the Lord Jesus in 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He cited Jesus' example to those who are being provoked in their circumstances. Are you in such a circumstance now? Under provocation, in your vocation, in your relationship, or where there is opportunity of witness, Peter said in chapter 3, 15 and 16, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. You do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. So when there is an opportunity for witness, there is a relevant word. And how many times we chose to just be silent when the opportunity was there? When you are in circumstances that you are wanting of provision, lacking in supply, many temptations attending you. Listen to 4:19 of 1 Peter. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Sabihin, wala siyang sinabing may special kayong gagawin para masiguro ninyong hindi kayo maghihirap sa pagtitiis. Ipaubaya ninyo sa Diyos na soberano kung paano niya kayo bibigyan ng katayahan, dalhin ang inyong kabigatan. Huwag kayong gumawa ng sarili ninyong paraan. The word will prove sufficient when it comes to all circumstances. So we need to commit ourselves as a church this year that the word will govern all our circumstances. Now, somebody may ask, Pastor, aren't we a church that is defined by the confession of faith, the very first chapter of which speaks of it as our authority? Yes, we are. But the challenge is not defining your confession. The challenge is not pointing to the chapter and paragraph of the confession. I can do that, but that does not make me obedient to the Word of God. It is when you are willing to follow the Word of God for your particular circumstance when everyone else who call themselves Christians are doing differently. That is in fact what happened when the Baptists of the 1689 confession wrote their confession of faith. They followed mostly the Westminster confession word by word. At certain points they disagreed, especially in matters of the church. But one thing that was quite important to them on the matter of in the chapter on the Westminster Confession, which they called censures, that is church discipline. They followed most of the paragraphs. But when the Westminster said that the discipline of the church must be put under guidance and authority of human government, the Baptists erased that. This is a practice of letting the Word of God rule above all human standards. So many things may happen this year, but I am assuring you that there is always the Word above our lives. And the question is whether you are willing to confess above my circumstances, above my interests, the Word of God is going to rule my life. This is the challenge, and as we sing our last hymn, may we truly mean it when we sing those lines, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way," because there will be many circumstances And there will be many personalities. When while our conscience says God's way, our emotion and our personal sentiments will say my way. So let this be our confession for this year. Have thine own way, Lord. Let us sing this.
Nakilang aming Diyos, aming mapagbiyayang Ama, kagaya ng mga sinulat ni Pedro, kami man ay nasa minorya ng aming lipunan at natatambag kami sa mga uri ng pamantayan na sinusundan ng mas nakaraan, ngunit iba ang pinakasunod mo sa iyong mga lingkod. And so we pray, Lord, that even as we are conscious of being in the minority in a society where the great majority has no concern for the world, this is what separates, what distinguishes a Christian from the rest who are not Christians. That the Word of God is the authority, the absolute authority, and that is put in contrast with anything that is merely human, no matter how glorious the human standard may be. It is a choice to us. There is no suggestion here of using the word and mix it with the human, or using the human and then spice it with the word. It is a choice. We must have the word to govern us. And this is a calling that we must apply in terms of our personalities. There are personalities to whom we are attached by reason of blood or friendship or for whatever reason, we like them. And when we like them, we tend to soften our standard in order that they may continue to like us. And we pray, Lord, that we may make the word the real standard when it comes to the matter of the moral standard of the world. No matter how we like a person, when there is an infraction, may we be willing to admonish, may we be willing to rebuke. Indeed, sometimes may we be willing to censure. Father, we pray that on those to whom we are estranged and perhaps even hostile, and yet your word is calling for love, calling for comfort, calling even for forgiveness. We pray that we may not be lacking in obedience to your word in matters of personality, but we may practice the word without fear or favor of any personality, and so too with circumstances. There are circumstances that are convenient, circumstances that are inconvenient, and everything in between. And again, we tend to adjust the standard of your word in matters that are convenient or inconvenient to us. And we pray, Lord, that we may be challenged to apply the relevant word of authority in every present circumstance that we find ourselves in. There will always be that word, a word of promise, a word of command, a word of warning, a word of example, as in the case of the Lord Jesus. May we have the wisdom, and where we are lacking in maturity, may we be humble to seek counsel, so that we may know the word that applies to our circumstances. But may we not fail. May we let the word govern our thinking in every instance that we deal with personality and circumstances in our lives. Then may the year 2020 see this church in whatever challenges that beset us. Make us a church that truly say from our hearts, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way according to the enduring word and incorruptible. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.